This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Hypocrite.
Talk about touchy subjects. The sermon title is Hypocrite. In his 2005 book, Why Men Hate Going to Church, the author writes his top 10 from page 114, 10 reasons why men don't like going to church. Number one, they don't have time. I'm sorry, number 10, they don't have time. Number nine, church doesn't work for me. Number eight, because it's boring. Number seven, because it is irrelevant to my life. Number six, I don't like the pastor. Oh, you agree? Number five, I don't want to talk about it. Number four, it's too long. Number three, they ask for money too much. Number two, it's for wimps. And the number one answer, there are too many hypocrites in there. Are there hypocrites in the church? Yes. Are there hypocrites in politics? Are there hypocrites right there in your workplace, in education, in media, in entertainment? In fact, there are hypocrites in every nook and cranny of our lives, and God pointed to that almost 3,000 years ago in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 17. And he says this, Everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer. Everyone. That means me. That means all of us in the room. Hypocrisy is the lubricant of society. It's who we are and how we operate, whether we want to admit it or not. The dictionary defines hypocrisy as, quote, the feigning of beliefs, feelings, or virtues one does not hold nor possess. Ezekiel 33:31 says this, with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart they go after covetousness, and that is envy and jealousy. The Greek word for hypocrisy is this, hypokrisis. It means acting a pretended part to disguise one's intentions. And some of the synonyms, words that mean the same, are fraud, faker, bigot, sham, cheat, trickster, traitor. Hypocrisy undermines our confidence in people and in institutions. It's part of the reason why people feel the way they do about the current situation in our country. They see so much hypocrisy in individuals and in institutions, it's just a turnoff. It's a turnoff to you, it's a turnoff to me. We see hypocrisy alive and well in business when corporations and banks demand staff reductions, pay decreases, a moratorium on capital expenditures and hiring, and within that belt-tightening year, executives receive huge bonuses. Or we hear of a business tycoon like Warren Buffett who calls for higher taxes while his company fights the IRS over a $1 billion tax bill. We see hypocrisy in government when one party decries how the other party is owned by special interest groups as if they're not. They rant against the other party's political corruptions as if they were free from corruption. We see hypocrisy in the entertainment industry. One example is, if you remember the Newtown shooting in that school, six actors were part of a public service announcement condemning guns and gun violence, while every one of them had starred in at least one violent, blood-shedding, gun-shooting, exploding extravaganza of a movie. We also see hypocrisy when Hollywood bills itself as the proponents of women's rights and dignity, when at the same time they are the industry that stereotypes women as nothing more than sexual objects? I mean, do you get excited about these things? Does it upset you? Does your blood boil when you see this kind of hypocrisy going on? It did so to Jesus, and you'll see that in a minute. There's hypocrisy even in the important global warming debate, none more glowing than the actions of its chief spokesman, former Vice President Al Gore, who a few years ago had been criticized by none less than NBC's Matt Lauer and CBS's David Letterman, branding him as a hypocrite. Why? After years of pounding big oil companies for being the biggest destroyers of the environment, he sold his failing cable station, Current TV, to the Qatar-owned news outlet Al Jazeera for millions, netting the vice president $100 million. Both Lauer and Letterman surprisingly looked Al Gore in the eyes and said, quote, "Qatar is one of the biggest oil-producing countries in the world. You've railed against big oil. You've made the movie An Inconvenient Truth blasting big oil, and now you've become a multimillionaire on the back of big oil. Isn't this hypocritical?" End quote. His answer to them was this: "I hear where you're coming from, but I don't agree." He also tried to close his deal on December 31st, 2012 to avoid higher taxes coming in January 2013. Can you say hypocrisy? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. The Bible refers to hypocrisy in 37 verses and doesn't pull its punches. When it's found in the church, hypocrisy is particularly toxic in character. Galatians chapter 2 records the Apostle Peter's religious hypocrisy. He behaved one way in front of the Gentile Christians and another way in front of the Jewish Christians. What was he doing? When he was with the Gentile Christians in the Greek city of Antioch, he had no problem eating everything that wasn't kosher. He'd eat pork, he'd eat fish. But when he was with the Jewish Christians, he gave them the impression he would never touch such foods. He didn't want to violate Jewish dietary law. He was sending a signal to the early church about the role of Jewish dietary and ceremonial law in salvation. He was misleading new Christians, and in Galatians 2:11, Paul calls him on it. You see, there is hypocrisy in the church. Why? Because there are people in the church. Paul says the reason Peter did this was because he didn't want to offend anybody. But soon Paul recognized the truth often offends. The heart of the matter was whether a believer is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else, or were they saved by their works of keeping kosher and keeping religious traditions and keeping traditional rites? Is it ceremony and religion, or is it salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? You can't have it both ways. For the Christian, one foot in the faith and one foot in the world is unacceptable, inconsistent, and God's word says it's sin. We have to be who we say we are. Now again, appealing to us as human beings in this flesh, we are inconsistent. We say one thing and we do another thing, but we shouldn't just let it pass through us like water passing on a duck's back. It's got to speak to us when we do that. In his earthly ministry, Jesus confronted hypocrisy directly. And let's go to our text, Matthew 23, verses 1 to 7 and verse 13, and let's stand as we read. Matthew 23, 1 to 7 and verse 13. Matthew 23, 1. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. By all their works they do to be seen of men. They made broad their phylacteries and enlarged the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in their markets and to be called men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Verse 13, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You may be seated. The phylacteries, what are they? Some of you might remember the little square box that Orthodox Jews will have on their head, and they're still used today. They're these leather boxes. They contain scripture verses, and they're either strapped to the forehead or strapped to the wrist. Remember, the Pharisees were considered the guardians of Jewish law. For all their religious piety, Jesus labeled them hypocrites. He goes after the religious people. He goes after the hypocrisy he sees there because he recognizes how important our words and our deeds must be in focus. Verse 1 to 3, Jesus says, it's hypocritical when words and actions don't match. It's hypocritical when words and actions don't match. Christians talk a lot about love. Oh boy, we hear love, love, love for so many of us. That's the big word for us. But we become easy targets of criticism when our talk and our walk don't match. Gossip is not loving. Being critical is not loving. Mean-spiritedness is not loving. Unforgiveness is not loving. And prejudice is not loving. And that list can go on. If we say we love, let's show it. The little things, the kind words, the encouragement, the hug, the pat on the back, the card, the meal, just the expressions of our face, our willingness to hear things we don't agree with in such a way that we're not upset by it and we're not angry about it. Willing to pray for one another. Verse 4, Jesus says it's hypocrisy to impose, I-M-P-O-S-E, to impose standards on others you don't live up to yourself. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were instructing people, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other thing, but they weren't doing them. And Jesus comes up to the religious leaders of his day. How much courage is that? And he speaks right in their face. They talk about truth to power. These eventually would be the people who demanded his death. These would be partly the people who will stand in judgment of him. He knows that already, and he doesn't care. He's going to be truthful. He's going to be straightforward. He's going to be who he is, unashamed, unafraid, with the boldness that only God can give. That's that business of do as I say, but not as I do. It doesn't work with your kids. It isn't going to work with the people who are watching you and me as Christians. None of us has reached the point where we can wave a swaggering finger of righteous indignation in anybody's face. As Christians, we're all on the path of spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians, writes these words. Listen carefully. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. What is he saying? I haven't arrived spiritually there yet. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to keep on working with God's help to get better and better and better, that my words and my actions may come closer into focus. We can't be fault finders and nitpickers of other people because we've got our own faults and our own nits if we were willing to accept it. We must be encouragers and uplifters. We can speak truth to others' weakness and shortcomings, but the goal is to help, not to hurt. We all have our faults and we all have our shortcomings. And it would be good if somebody could come along lovingly and try to help us to strengthen our weaknesses and overcome our shortcomings. But folks don't do it that way a lot of time. They don't show much love and they don't show much grace, but they do show a lot of criticism. And criticism has broken up more churches. I don't like the sermon he gave today. I don't like what he said about hypocrisy. I don't like this and I don't like that, and off they go. I mean, we have to work together. Church has to work together. That's part of who we are. We're about connections. We're about people loving each other and working together with each other in harmony and in peace and the unity of the Spirit. In verses 5 to 7, Jesus says it's hypocrisy to be motivated to do good out of pride and out of a need of attention. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 3 the following, "When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does." We do good things because they are good to do, not because they make us look good. There is a difference. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves by that hug, not trying to draw our attention to ourselves by bringing that meal, not trying to draw attention to ourselves. We're trying to help somebody on their way. The church really imparts like a first aid station. I mean, when you're hurting and when you're limping, we want to be the crutches. We want to hold you up and lift you up. Somebody talked about Moses last week in Sunday school, I believe it was, about Moses' hands being lifted up when the Israelites were crossing the Red Sea. And as long as Moses' hands were up, things were working out good. But as soon as he got tired and his hands started to fall, things went bad. And so two brothers came along and they held up his hands. There are times in your life when you can't hold your head up. You need somebody to come alongside and lift up your head and help you out. That should be us. Not to criticize somebody for not having enough faith to get through such a time as this. Not asking any questions like that, but just coming along. Can I hold up your hands? Can I pray with you? Can I do something? Good works are an outgrowth of God's Spirit in us, showing through us doing good and kind deeds, which will either bring glory to God or glory to us. And the Christian's goal in life is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Everything we do is about representing Jesus Christ and showing what he can do through an ordinary life like you and me. And what he can do is nothing is impossible. Wherever it is that you fall short, he will come along and he'll use some mechanism to bring you up, some mechanism to strengthen you. It may be a kind word. It may be a Sunday school lesson. It may be a Bible school lesson. It may be a sermon. It may be a phone call. God's in the business of helping you get through your day-to-day. When I was a chaplain at Hagedorn Psychiatric Hospital for all those years, the Lord laid on my heart that part of my ministry was just to leave those folks with one thought for the day. And most frequently, that thought for the day was this: you have all that God will help you have so that you can get through to today. You can get through today. And that's all God wants you to remember is whatever you're going through, you can get through today. You hang on. Don't let go. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. You can get through today. Why? Because God's going to be right beside you helping you get through the day. We have a wonderful story to tell. We have a testimony because we've been through some testing. Why muck it up with inconsistent living? Verse 13, Jesus says it's hypocritical. He says hypocrisy hinders people from following Christ. Those behind pulpits who claim that they have the mantle of ministry to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and deny the virgin birth, and deny the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's hypocrisy, because they say they're giving the gospel out when they don't even speak about what the gospel is. The gospel is that Christ died for our sin, that he was buried in the ground for 3 days, that he rose again the third day. And if you put your faith, your trust, your belief in him, if you recognize that you've sinned and only the Savior's sacrifice on Calvary can save you from that sin and wash away your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore, that he will come into your heart. That is the saving gospel. And that's what we have a responsibility to preach behind a sacred desk like this. The saving gospel, clear and unadorned. But it's kind of hard to hear that when our lives don't reflect that. People will see the gospel lived long before they'll hear the gospel spoken. Amen? So they're watching you and me. Chapter 23 goes on to record the Pharisees were labeled hypocrites by Jesus because they use their religious leadership to cheat people. Well, you know, the church is only about your money. Is that it? Is that what you hear here on Sunday? Only about your money? Well, it shouldn't be. They cheated people out of their fortunes. Their prayer was speeches, not prayers. They were busy teaching others their evil ways. They turned God's law, meant to protect and preserve his people, into a straitjacket of legalism designed to control and condemn people. You see, they took their prized position as ministers, priests, and they corrupted it. They turned it from the pure things that God would have them to do with their position, and they turned it into a situation where they could control people and manipulate people and hurt people and say, do as I do as I say, but not as I do, and find ways to make it as if it hadn't happened that way. And they lied to people. It was seen by Jesus as hypocrisy. You represent my Father, but you don't represent my Father. That's hypocritical. When we recognize hypocrisy in our own lives, we can take remedial action. What can we do? Number one, confess. Agree with God that in this area of our life, there is hypocrisy. That we've been convicted by the Holy Spirit that that hypocrisy is sin. It's dishonest. Confess it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever it is that you've done, that sin, whatever you've done that's wrong, God wants to forgive you. Picture him on the cross with his arms wide open, say, I love, I forgive, I'll forget, just talk to me. Number two, ask for his forgiveness. Confess, which basically means to agree with God that what you've done is sin, and then ask him to forgive you. And the Bible says that God is desperate to forgive. He wants to forgive. You don't have to live with that unconfessed sin in your heart. Third, ask God to give us the conviction and the strength to be what we say we are. Name it. God, in this area of my life, help me to be. Is it my language? Is it my anger? Is it my ego? Is it my pride? Is it my passions? Whatever it is that keeps me from being who you want me to be, help me. Name it. Ask God to help you with it. And fourth, give God thanks every day as the Holy Spirit helps you to be the real deal. If the world ever needed to see genuine, authentic, Christ-biblical faith, it's in 2017, amen? When we see all the hypocrisy that is in our world, that is in our culture, that's in our society, how would it be if there was something, institution, something like that, pure of that? What kind of an impact would it make on the world if they saw authenticity instead of hypocrisy? What would that say all by itself? Yeah, well, there's one place where hypocrisy is not allowed to rule, and it's in the Church of Jesus Christ. But the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of people, you and me. So it's about us as individuals to look in our own hearts and ask God to help us to be the real deal. I encourage you. I challenge myself to be the real deal. People are desperate today. They're giving up on their institutions, whatever they are. They just don't believe in them anymore, and they're mad about it. They're mad about it. What an opportunity we have. This is not a bad time to be a Christian. This is a great time to be a Christian because we have such an opportunity to show the difference and stand for Jesus Christ. The 20th century evangelist Billy Sunday said this, "Hypocrites in the church? Yes, and in the lodge, and at home. Don't hunt through the church for a hypocrite. Go home and look in the mirror. Hypocrites? Yes. See that you make the number one less." Amen? Thus ended the lesson. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.